Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Mike, Stoke asked me this yesterday, and I said 7.5. So we are thinking along the same track, and I go back to the same question that I had going into or based off the signing of Melvin. The first day that we came in here after the Melvin Gordon signing, and I said KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver again. But I also said, in addition to that, I said, I wonder how the human
element. I gave you that one.
The human element is going to work, not in a press conference before the season, during the season, when Philip Lindsay does have a game where he has 4 carries. Philip Lindsay does have ants in his pants and fire in his belly and says what's on his mind. How does it work in a locker room where that guy has assumed a leadership role? By the way, he's a young leader. He's been a Pro Bowler. He's been a multiple 1,000-yard carry guy. And if his role overnight, not because of anything he did, but because who the Broncos added, if his role gets reduced to a game where he's getting 4 carries, how does it work from a human standpoint in that locker room? People say once in a while, I'm being dramatic about it. I don't think that I am.
Well, I've covered baseball where, you know, the veteran second baseman, they call up the minor leaguer, the young minor leaguer, the up-and-comer, and all of a sudden he's a second baseman, and the veteran has to sit there and watch for a little while. That happens all the time. Happens all the time in baseball. I'm sure it happens all the time, maybe not as much in hockey and the NBA, but it happens all the time in the NFL. I mean, Devontae Booker, right, was supposed to be the Broncos' starting running back in 2017. And, you know, C.J. Anderson had the 1,000-yard season. And then they draft Royce Freeman and they sign undrafted Philip Lindsay. And Booker winds up getting 3 carries all year. And he kept the attitude throughout this thing. And I know it's a little different with Philip Lindsay because he's got those back-to-back 1,000 yards because the spotlight will definitely be on Lindsay after back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. That makes it brighter. But it's the same type of situation that almost every position, almost every player through. There's a couple every year in the locker room. And generally what I find is they are professional about it. They don't make a stink. They try to be mature because they believe there will be better days ahead after the season. Maybe another team. They can regroup their career. So they try to stay, above the fray, try not to fall into the trap of being disgruntled. Keep the positive attitude, and they carry on. But deep down inside, oh, yeah, they're simmering. But that's what I found in my years in the locker rooms is these guys that have been replaced stay humble, and they stay professional.
Mike Kliss joining us here. Mike, last one for me, buddy. What's overall? You hearing any buzz from camp? Anything going on out there that you want to make us aware of?
You know, I've heard, and tomorrow's our first day watching. You know, we've taken our third COVID test. The media has the T2 media, and so we'll be out there tomorrow for the first time. But I've heard that
well, Zach and I are T1 media. What's our protocol look like?
Did you just sign a waiver and go right to the berm?
Yeah, we're T1.
We did.
T1, first team, baby. Sorry, Clissy, go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. But here's something interesting I heard. Albert O has been flashing a little bit.
Okay.
Tight end. And here's a guy that's looked pretty good, surprisingly well. Jake Butt.
Wait, really? I, Kliss, just to tell you this, I heard a couple weeks ago that that, you know, let's not forget about Jake Butt. This was a couple weeks ago, week and a half ago. Yeah. Don't forget about Jake Butt. He is not out of the mix to make this football team.
Mike,
and,
they put
and
out,
I hadn't said it, and that, and you said that, and so that's why I'm going to throw that out there
so
right now.
So you've just been sitting on that for a week and a half?
Yep, yep.
Mike, have they put on pads yet?
I heard that within hours ago.
Love it.
That he, you know, I thought Jake Butt would go out there and, like he was, you know, carrying a wounded leg, or you would see the effects of two surgeries and being out basically for 3 years. I hear he's moving well.
Well,
so,
if
well, I still think the odds are against them of making the 53. I do, because the tight end spots are filled.
Yeah, going to be tough.
Right?
Yeah,
going to
be
filled.
Tough.
But with one T, but with two T's, has a chance to keep on you know, maybe keeping this career going for a little while longer than we would have thought.
Well, I am refusing, and this is with all due respect to Jake's recovery, okay? Because I am rooting for that kid. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted, but I refuse to get excited about Jake Butt before they put the pads on and start having contacted practices. This is nice. It's as good of news as we could get on a day like today. But in terms of the actual substance of what an NFL game looks like, this is like a distant second cousin of that. So it's good news, but I'm gonna temper my own enthusiasm.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's kind of like the pickup game in the gym versus the scrimmage, you know, in week three.
Right.
It's a different deal. And it is encouraging, though, that, you know, he's this far. And, yes, I agree. And that's really for everybody. And the good thing, we skipped all the walkthroughs and we skipped all the conditioning and even most of the 7-on-7s and starting Monday – you know, relatively quickly here, we get to watch him with pads on. And so, you know, we'll get to make our over evaluations or whatever, or make too much of what we see during practice, but it's what we got. And, it keeps people informed, and it's all we got because there's no preseason to judge anybody off of this year. So practice will matter never before. You know what else I found out, guys? Those contact tracers that they have?
Yeah.
They wear them during practice.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Like, why do you wear – they're gonna snap them in and to their jerseys. And I'm like, there's going to be contact, isn't there? Isn't that – you know, it's going to be football. Isn't it going to be beeping all the time? But, you know, I guess it helps measure data.
Interesting.
And it will keep them separated during the downtimes. There'll be social distancing during the, you know, while if it's 11-on-11 on the field, the other, 68 guys got to spread out.
Right.
So,
it's kind of like a demolition. It's kind of like a demolition derby followed by an equally spaced parking lot. Like, that's what, you know, Mike, we'll leave it there for now. We kept you too long already. We appreciate you. Great job. Great job with the DeMar Dotson piece. I mean that. I was so entertained. And we literally read the entire thing nearly verbatim in the first hour of our show. So great stuff. Appreciate you stopping by, bro.
Thanks, Kliss.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There he goes. Mike Kliss. Lot there.
Yeah.
Lot there.
Lot there. What I did hear about Jake Butt was that don't forget about him, you know, because this was before they started cranking it up. But
so that
was it. Just don't forget about
that.
That
well, actually, I don't appreciate it. You sat on it for a week.
Well,
and a half.
I just wasn't gonna. Just didn't feel like sharing it at the time.
I guess
not. There was no time to really. When was I gonna throw that in there? Hey,
we host a 3-hour show every day.
Well. You know, sometimes I forget things and things jog my memory.
When
Kliss was going down that road and he said that jogged my memory. But before camp started, that just don't forget about.
You still got some sources, huh? You still got your sources.
Every now and then.
I love it.
Yeah, so
I love it.
We'll see. But it's gonna be super duper hard for him to make the football team.
How many tight ends do you normally keep?
Three to four.
Right. You got Noah Fant, first round pick. Albert Okwuegbunam, who is apparently flashing. How about that?
And he's gonna make the team. He's the fourth round pick. Right.
Yep.
Making the team, no doubt about it.
Yep. You got
Nick Vernett. And you got did you say Noah Fant? I didn't even hear.
Yeah, Noah Fant said him first.
Okay. Who's the other one? There's another one in there. There's four of them that were going to be.
Noah Fant, Nick Vinette, Albert Okwuegbunam.
Oh, what about
Troy Fumagalli?
Andrew Beck.
He's not even here anymore, is he? Or is Andrew Beck? Is Troy Fumagalli still
here? Yeah, I think he's still here.
He's got
doing high knees.
High knees. Karaoke's quick feet. Perfectly.
Oh, best in the business.
Best in the biz.
Is it Andrew Beck? Who's on the COVID right now? That's Andrew Beck, right?
I think so.
But that guy's going to make the football team, probably.
Yeah, he's still with the Broncos. It's going to be tough for Jake Butt.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. But I know, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out for him.
Are you sitting on something else?
No. Nothing else. Got nothing. But look, we all love the story. I know the Broncos, they love the story too, right? I mean, it's a great story. And so they want him to succeed. So if it's close, I would lean towards, you know, if he plays well and they like what they see and is close with somebody else.
But the thing is, no preseason games may hurt Jake Butt as much as any other player on this team.
Of course it does. You got to do it. You got to do it, though, in scrimmages. You got to do it when, you know, consistently. There can't be a hiccup along the road here.
Right.
Or it's night-night.
Right.
It's game over for him.
Yeah, just confirm and validate the doubt.
Right.
That's already front and center.
No more hiccups. This is it, man. They've given him, and kudos to the Broncos for continuing to give this guy opportunities. A lot of teams would have moved on.
Sure.
So that says a lot about Jake Butt, too, and
sure.
his mindset and what he's done, because they're not going to just give you freebies.
Right.
But he's grinding, he's working, and, you know, teams will reward you for that. And certainly the Broncos have done that.
I have to read what's in front of me. It's just one of these things. I got to get it off
is
my
it
chest
National
here.
National Geographic?
Kind of.
Oh, okay.
Researchers.
How big is a whale's tongue?
it weighs as much as an elephant.
I know that now.
Researchers at the Yale School of Medicine successfully restored some functions to pig brains that had been dead for hours. This is how the zombie apocalypse starts.
This is it, huh?
You start reworking brains that are dead, bringing them back to life. They hope the technology will advance.
There's a chance.
The understanding of the brain, potentially developing new treatments for debilitating diseases and disorders. That's great. But the research raises many ethical questions and puts to test our current understanding of death. Maybe Bryce DeChambeau's right. He's going to live to 130.
Maybe so.
Just bring his brain back.
Hey, look at that. I mean, unbelievable.
Tell you what, man.
Not only do you get Broncos coverage and sports coverage here, but you also get, you know, updates from Yale Medical School.
Unbelievable. Bringing pigs back to life.
Wow.
Incredible. 2020.
Did they bring them back to life? Is that what? Wait, give it to me again.
Researchers at the Yale School of Medicine successfully restored some brain functions.
Some brain functions.
To the pig brains that have been dead for hours.
So the pigs back moving, waddling around?
Yeah.
Just
getting some function back.
Were they still being on? You know, I mean, like, what's going on?
I don't know if like, that was one of the functions brought back.
Right, that's what I'm wondering. Can they still, you know...
Well,
like what's happening now with the pigs?
I don't know. But immediately,
do they put it back in, and the pigs still operate?
Don't know.
Come on!
But immediately, my mind goes to: can we bring back Nick, the manatee?
Nick, your
can
manatee.
We revive my manatee that I adopted in 1994.
You adopted a manatee in 1994, and you abandoned it. You're a bad adoptive parent.
Well, I
but
just
you
lost
didn't really
track
adopt
of
it.
Did
you have a pen pal relationship to where they would send you pictures?
Yeah, you
and
paid
stuff?
The $10. They sent you back a picture of them and a thank you. And they were getting caught in boat propellers, and we were trying to save them.
The population ended up going back. So you
up.
Only paid $110.
Single installment.
That was it.
Probably gave him some like sardines or something to munch on.
You never followed through with anything else.
Really, I just probably bought him lunch.
Right.
It's less of an adoption, more of like, here's some lunch. By the way, did someone bring you food?
Well, there is food here.
If you didn't know, someone literally took Stokely's lunch
Stole it. Somebody stole my lunch. They said it got delivered, went down there, looked twice, and it was no longer there. So,
yeah. Okay.
We'll give you updates here shortly.
All right. We are lucky enough to be joined here in just a moment by, you know, about 40 minutes ago, I said, look, we're going to be joined by a guy who is a wide receiver that was taken number one in the draft. Like, wide receivers do not go number one in the draft. But we are lucky enough, and I think he's on the line with Steven here. Do we have Keyshawn? Okay, we do have Keyshawn. Okay, Keyshawn Johnson dropping by here live on Stokely and Zach. Keyshawn, thank you for your time here. Appreciate you, man.
All good, boss.
We are in Broncos country, man. We live in an area that is absolutely rabid about the Denver Broncos. And the excitement for this football season is building up to a crescendo. It hasn't been good around here, Keyshawn. The Broncos have had back-to-back losing seasons here 3 years in a row. For the first time since the early 1970s, this fan base is not used to losing consistently. But the defense is the most expensive defense now in the National Football League. The offense brings in Melvin Gordon, drafts Noah Fant a year ago in the first round, drafts Jerry Jeudy in the first round. When you look at the Denver Broncos trajectory for 2020 and beyond, you think what?
Well, before we go there, I just want to tell you, I pulled one on your producer who picked up. He picks up the phone. I said, Denver Broncos suck. I could hear him shaking on the other end of the line. He didn't know it was me. And I'm like, oh, I'm just messing with you.
Well, I saw the look on his face. Keyshawn, I saw the look on his face. I'm like, wait, what is happening there behind the glass? So that actually explains a lot.
No, I actually I like what Denver and John Elway's finally doing. I'm not really sold on Vic Fangio, but that's just me. But I do like the pieces that they've assembled and put together. It just has to come together. Drew Lock, obviously, that's been a little bit of an issue for the Broncos here recently at the quarterback spot. But you mentioned Melvin Gordon and the receiver that they went and Fant the tight end that they picked up out of Iowa. You know, it's going to come. The success has been great in Denver for many, many years under the late Pat Bowlen. And I think you get spoiled and you want to always win. And when you have a down year or two or three or four, the first thing you start doing is trying to figure out who to point the blame at. But I think given time that they'll get it figured out. Musical chairs at the head coaching position certainly doesn't help, but you got to hire the right coaches to put the thing in place. You can't just go from one guy to the next guy. It didn't work out, so I'm gonna hire the next guy. You gotta keep it in play and allow it to mature a little bit.
Keyshawn Johnson joining us, former number one overall pick. Thank you for joining us. Certainly appreciate that. I got to ask you, Keyshawn, about, you know, the thing that intrigues me the most is you and Bill Parcells and y'all's relationship, you know, and how y'all were and what was that like playing for him? And what is y'all's relationship like?
Yeah, but let me ask you this, though, before we move on. Why does it intrigue you? Like, what is it that you thought about it, or what is it that you think about?
Well, your personality didn't seem like it meshed with his at all, but it seemed like y'all ended up making it work for some reason. That's what I'm trying to figure out, how those dynamics worked.
Well. Here's shame on the media, because the media, and we work in it now, obviously,
right?
They will make you think that an individual like myself has this weird personality that don't mesh well with coaches, or which is the furthest thing from the truth. And so it was never an issue. The guy is a winner. He's a proven winner. He's a coach that demands a certain respect. He asked me to do certain things, and it was accomplished. It was no BS. He didn't play games with me. He didn't treat me like, you know, a football player. He treated me like a human being, and he got the same respect. So I get why you wonder, because
right.
When he came to me in 1997, after I wrote my famous book, Just Give Me the Damn Ball, which they turned out and did, and we won a lot of games because of that. people were wondering, is Bill Parcells, Keyshawn, this guy is a loudmouth for the West Coast, get rid of, and it was like, wait a minute, man, what are you talking about? This is my best player who does everything I asked him to do. Are y'all fools? So I knew that our relationship was going to be great, and it's still great to this day. The reason I am in broadcast journalism and I'm at ESPN is because of Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells was one of the main reasons that I retired early, because he set me down one day and he said, you've accomplished everything. You've done it all. Why keep playing? Why don't you do this now? And because you're going to be exceptional at it. And him and I joined Sunday and Monday Night Countdown my first year before he went back to the Dolphins. And then even when he went back to the Dolphins, he tried to lure me back out of retirement to come and play with him at the Dolphins. So it's kind of like, it's funny because everybody always asks that question. It's like, how do you guys get along? I'm like, dude, he's like a father to me. He's like, that's my dude. Like, Bill is my guy.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm glad you're sharing that, because that's honestly, and you talk about, how the media framed it. That's the only context that someone like myself has. So for you breaking it down the way that you just did, is giving me, I think I can speak for Stokely as well, a bit of an education on, kind of behind the curtain. So we appreciate that. And by the way, kudos to your broadcasting career, man. You were a great player. You were a star at USC. You were the number one pick in the draft. I don't think a wide receiver's been picked number one since then. You were a Pro Bowl guy. You won a Super Bowl.
Does that mean that I messed it up for him?
I won't say that, Keyshawn. But are you having as much fun doing, because you look like you have a blast. We do this every day. It's an absolute dream job. Are you having as much fun at ESPN as you did as a player?
Absolutely. I think it's my 14th year. I played 11 before I abruptly retired. And I think this is one of my 14th year at ESPN. I did 9 years of Countdown, and I did the four at in LA along with other assignments from television, and then they offered me the new morning job to taking over the Golic and Wingo and Mike, formerly Mike and Mike show, to go national with Jay Will and Zubin, and also do more television with Info Live and get up and First Take and all the other stuff that they're going to have me doing. But I had to move back east, and when those conversations started in February, I was like, yeah, I want to stay home, man. I don't feel like working that hard. And then I just, over time, the conversations continue to keep going. And then I'm like, around the middle of June, I'm like, man, I told my wife, I said, I think we just going to move back to New York. And she was like, move back to New York. Ah! My kids and everything. And I was like, it's going to be fun. We're going to have a blast. You'll see. And it's great. The thing is, when you see this show on Monday morning, when you wake up, you're gonna miss work, because you're gonna not want to leave. We're gonna have a blast, and we're gonna have fun, and it's gonna be entertaining, and we're not just gonna be boring sports talk radio type situation. It's simulcast on ESPN2 as well as ESPN News, and you get a chance to listen to it in your cars. It's just gonna be fun.
Yeah,
it's gonna be very insightful across the board.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and we're partnering up with you. We don't do boring sports talk radio here at The Fan in Denver, I'll tell you that. And Keyshawn, Jay, and Zubin will be our new early morning show here at The Fan, leading right up into a Mark Schlereth show, along with Mike Evans, Schlereth and Evans, and every morning starting Monday, August 17th. Really looking forward to this really new approach from ESPN. I'm fascinated by it. I love the business. I'm glad you're a part of the business. And before we let you go, Keyshawn, and the one and the only Keyshawn Johnson joining us here, you were a wide receiver for years in the league, at the same time as my partner Brandon Stokely was a wide receiver in the National Football League. When you think back of who Stokely was as a player, what do you think?
Who? He caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl and made the Duke, and he almost got his pants pulled down.
I ended Seahorn's career, man. That's what happened.
I remember like it was yesterday. He ran a seam route.
That's right.
That is awesome.
I remember. Brandon Stokely was one of the original white slot receivers. All that Wes Welker and Julian Edelman and all them. Him and Corbett were the originals.
That's right, baby. Appreciate you, Keyshawn. Appreciate it. Best of luck to you. We'll be listening.
All right, bud.
All right, see ya. There he goes, Keyshawn Johnson. That was awesome.
Yeah, great stuff.
Great.
He does such a great job. I really do like listening to him. He's insightful. He's funny, and he keeps it real.
Yeah, he does. And I'm glad you asked that question about Bill Parcells, because I've always looked at their relationship almost like Larry Brown and Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Like trying to get the most out of a guy. There's a deep love there, but there's public, you know, some public back and forth. And
you knew it wasn't bad because, you know, Keyshawn went with Bill to Dallas.
Right.
So it's
right.
Like you're
Good
not
going
to bring a guy to with them to Dallas that is, you know, they don't get along or he doesn't like the way that he works or plays. So you knew it wasn't bad, but you just didn't quite know what was going on there, because the media portrayed it one way, and especially New York media, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's what you're hearing.
Sure.
And that's what they love.
Yep, there's no doubt about it. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. Shout out to Keyshawn
Johnson.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Really cool. All right, someone at this station says what the Nuggets did last night was a joke. He'll join us next.
Yeah.
Someone at this station said what the Nuggets did last night was a joke. It's James Merrillat, and we loved you. You like him more today, don't you?
We're always me and James are usually in sync.
Typically,
because he's a smart guy.
Typically,
he's a smart guy.
You guys, you know, take the your own
the smart
path.
Approach.
Yeah, yeah. I gotta say this really quick before we dive into this. If you're just joining us, we have a food delivery service that gets dropped off every day. If you order lunch, they'll bring it to the basement on its own food cart. Stokely's food got delivered. He got the confirmation email. He does this every day that he's in studio, most days. And it got stolen, legitimately. And we're working on trying to get the footage from the cameras that are down there and go after whoever did it. And
the culprit.
We're being serious. Someone's cruising for a bruising.
Yeah.
But.
I was looking forward to that sandwich
right,
in a big way.
Right. Well, in the meantime, so we talked about this on air. Someone delivered food to our show. And when I say to our show, a burger for Steven, a burger for me, and a burger for you with truffle fries to go.
Yes. How about that?
I am so appreciative. Kudos. And this is just really... It's re-sparked my belief in humanity. Yes.
Go to that next level with it, Zach.
The problem is I don't know exactly who to thank. I think the name is Irhem. I-R-H-E-M. Irhem, I believe. Now, it says Kevin to go. Kevin may be the driver, so he deserves a shout-out, too.
Yeah, not sure, but nobody put a name on it. I hadn't seen anything come up, but looks like it's from Larkburger.
And so, I just think it's so cool.
I've eaten half of the bar. I was super duper hungry.
Right.
Super duper, because I wasn't going to really eat until later, because I just wanted to be pissed off the whole show.
Which I couldn't understand, and I never will. But
we're going to find that video. I want to find somebody who took my lunch.
This is...
thank you for bringing me some lunch, and us lunch.
Irhem and Kevin, man, you really have stirred up an emotion in me that has been dormant since probably Tuesday. James Merrillat, joining us here. James,
what's up, fellas?
Boy, you have a unique way about you. Sometimes I want to jump through Twitter and tackle you. Other times I want to jump through Twitter and give you a huge hug and say, man, that's what I'm talking about. That needed to be said. What did you say last night about the Nuggets approach?
Well, a lot of different things. I was on kind of one of those Twitter tirades because I was just so upset by it. I think it's the wrong mindset to just look at the two of these games, you know, two of the last three games you're playing in the bubble, and basically taking the approach of we're not here to win. If we win, great, but we don't care if we win. We're not going to play the starters. We're not going to try to get a W down the stretch here. We're not going to try and execute in the fourth quarter and do some of those kind of things. We're just going to put our starters on the bench and, you know, see what the reserves can do. I just think not caring about victory is a bad thing. The other part of it is, so that's one,
okay,
right? And we saw that, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George certainly cared last night.
Yep.
LeBron James and Anthony Davis certainly cared, you know, whatever night they played the Lakers. they cared because LeBron James was like, we've lost three straight games. We need to turn this around because winning is a disease. It's a habit. Or losing is a disease and it's a habit, and we need to break it. So they all cared. Those guys got some rings. Michael Malone, who everybody wants to give all this, you know, credit to, oh, what, he's just, you know, playing all the cards right. Well, he's won one playoff series in his career, as best as I can recall. So I guess I'll go with LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard in terms of how to approach these games over Michael Malone. Then the other part of this is that this is what bothers me. We haven't heard this from the team, but you hear it from fans. Oh, this is good that you actually want to be the three. You want to play Utah instead of Dallas. And my point of on this is, if you really are a championship caliber team, and we talk about them like they are, they talk about like themselves like they are, you tell me you're really trying to dodge the seven seed? If you're truly a championship team, you don't have to manipulate your first round matchup. Now, you may try and avoid the Lakers until the Western Conference Finals or whatever the case may be, but if you have to dodge the number seven seed, you aren't as good as everybody thinks you are. And that was my takeaway from the Nuggets last night.
Yeah, and James, nope. I'm coming in here, Zach. I'm coming in here, Zach. And James, I am spot on with you, right? Look, hey, if you are a championship team, you just play. And
yes,
you play to win. And whoever you line up against in the playoffs, they ought to be scared of you. Here's my other point, James, that I have an issue with. Down the stretch here, you are getting ready to play the most important games of your year. And that is playoff games. You haven't played a lot of basketball up until this point. And so to be resting your guys right before the playoff time and giving them the third and fourth off pretty much, you're not getting them prepared to finish games off. You're not getting them prepared with their basketball legs and conditioning to be able to close games out. So it wouldn't surprise me where you see a ball club and the Nuggets who play pretty good for two and a half quarters, but the last quarter and a half, they just don't have the energy. They don't have the basketball legs. They haven't been closing games out. If you don't do it in practice, if you don't do it in exhibition games, regular season games, how do you expect them to do it in playoff games?
I totally agree with you. We all had that coach, right, who said, hey, you're going to play like you practice. You better practice the right way because you can't just flip a switch come game time. Well, you can't just flip a switch come playoff time either. And the other part of it, and I'm right, I'm 100% with you, Stoke, but the other part of it is, look, you might be able to sell me on this if they were playing well, but their defense stinks. They can't guard anybody from three-point land. They looked really good in the second half against Utah, but they were bad in the first half against Utah. They blew a six-point lead in the final 10 seconds of that game, blew a six-point lead in overtime, and almost blew a seven-point lead in the final 30 seconds of double overtime. But that's the team, Utah, right, who had an 18-point lead on the Nuggets and had the ball in their hands in double overtime with 4 seconds left with a chance to win it. Utah is the team we want to have because that's, oh, boy, we got a great matchup there. Really? That's your great matchup, a team that took you to the wire in that game could not have been more back and forth dead even. I kind of got it when people were saying, hey, the Avs would much rather play the Coyotes instead of the Blackhawks. Because, look, the Blackhawks have, you know, Kane and Taves and these guys who've won Stanley Cups, and the Coyotes were 11 at the time the things got shut down. So, like, okay, I get that. But Utah and Dallas, to me, are kind of a flip of a coin. I think you're just tempting the basketball gods by trying to manipulate that.
Okay. You guys just covered a lot, okay? You covered a lot.
It was like my tweets.
Right. you've had a big week on Twitter, James. I can't lie.
Yeah.
what Stokes said about the basketball legs and being able to close games, that to me is a different, isolated conversation than them actually purposefully really losing games, because I do believe they purposefully lost the last two games, right? It's hard to come away with another real opinion than that. Although they have to do with the same thing, right? Because you're trying to lose, therefore your starters aren't playing the fourth quarter, therefore maybe they don't have the full fourth quarter of basketball legs. So I understand they are related, but they are not the same. Back to what you laid out initially when you're talking about being fearful that you're of the Mavs, that you're not there to win. I take a different approach. Before I tell you, though, my approach, I will say there is validity to what you're saying. I am not being dismissive of your argument. I think it holds water and it made sense to me. But I look at it differently. I look at it the way that Mike Malone is looking at it. They are caring about winning so much that when they have an opportunity to apply strategy to the playoff seedings, they'll do it. That, to me, is just smart because, like you said, they have not had a ton of playoff success. They do have one series win, and their first-round matchup is very important. So if you have an opportunity to play a team that you went 3-0 against, at the end of the day, 3-0 against Utah, and avoid a team that you went 1-2, and the one game that they won was by a single point, the Dallas Mavericks, I think you're being smart about the big picture to what matters the most, because years from now, we won't be talking about the nuances of bubble game number 7, but we will be talking about the playoffs, and that is ultimately what matters. Mike Malone is not a softy. Mike Malone is a hard ass from Queens, New York. He is not avoiding, like the way you put it, that, you know, they don't want to win. They do want to win badly enough that they would operate in seeding games. That's what these are, seeding games with great strategy. Is that what I would do? I'm not exactly sure, because I would like to think my mindset is, no, we're going to go freaking play. We're going to win any time that we step out there. But as I look at it, just objectively and pragmatically, and what they're trying to do, I can't fault them for it.
James, let me jump in here real quick and get a shot in before you get your haymakers in.
You guys
here.
Taking right, buddy. Turns on me here.
Yeah, here we go. Tag team, I'm in right now, okay? Listen, Zach, we will be talking about game 6, 7, 8 in the bubble if they go 1-done.
If they
years
lose.
From now.
Yes.
We will
yes,
be.
Yes, we
so
will.
If they lay an egg and they don't play well and they don't close the game out in the fourth quarter and they don't have legs in the fourth quarter, or if their dream matchup against the Jazz, like James says, who was mopping them all over the floor there a couple nights ago, if that goes haywire, we will be talking about how they finished up the bubble.
Yes, and we will be. If they get bounced in the first round, we will be talking about it. That's why you want the more advantageous matchup, and that's the Jazz.
They're 3-0 against the Jazz, but the only team they've played in the bubble is the Jazz. It was the game the other day, and they were down by 18. They haven't played the Mavericks, right? So, to me, kind of everything pre-bubble, I don't know how much it matters, right? That they went 1-2 against the Mavericks. Well, yeah, one of those losses was the night everything got closed down and they were the last game played and everybody at halftime knew that, hey, you know what? You're all going to have to go home and be quarantined because the world is shutting down. Okay, like that loss is why we're trying to dodge the Mavericks? Like, that seems odd to me. I think
Mavericks are good, James. They just... Why are they the seventh seed?
Why are they the seventh seed?
They are imperfect. They have dealt with their own health issues, okay, with their second best player. This is a team that this past week beat the Milwaukee Bucks. They just beat the Jazz this past week. This is a very good basketball team.
They have a great player, and then they're the seven seed for a reason. But here's the thing. Doc Rivers and Kawhi Leonard aren't worried about having to play the Mavericks in the first round. Why? Because they don't look at them and say, man, that's a darn good team. That's the best seven seed in the history of the NBA.
James, we cannot boil these guys' identity down to their seeding. They are one game back from the four seed. They're one win back from the four seed. One win from hosting in
sure.
a normal world
but all the
a
people,
playoff matchup.
I also, part of my fun on Twitter this week has been everybody, you know, killing me because I said the Nuggets won't get a top four seed. And I owe everybody a round of beers for the first game, which is fine. I'll make good on that. But they were also one game away from being the seven seed or two games away from being the seven seed. So it's not like I missed that by a mile. So we can't have it both ways, right? But I just think back to, you know, who's the guy on this team? Who's the alpha on this team that is John Elway that when he loses a game of pool, he sells his pool table the next day? Or when he's Michael Jordan and he loses money on the golf course, we're not done after 18 holes. We're going to play another 18 until I get my money back.
Sound like
right?
Stokely. Like,
who's the guy? Who's the guy on this team?
Let's go, boys.
Who's the guy on this team that is LeBron that says, we've lost three games in a row. We're not playing well. The playoffs are right around the corner. Sorry, coach. We're going to go out here and play in the fourth quarter against P.J. Dozier and the rest of these guys because we need to get a win. We need to remember what it feels like to win.
Yeah, but
who's that guy on this
team? But the Lakers and LeBron haven't won back-to-back games since entering the bubble. They had been playing bad basketball.
So, like,
the Nuggets are, what, 3-4? They're not playing good basketball either. They're 2-5 if they don't come back from 18 down and beat Utah. I don't think they're playing good basketball. Look, if they were 5-0 and then took the last two games off, that's a different story because you were playing well. We'd be saying, boy, I hate to turn off the mojo, but they're not playing good basketball
either.
They had
won 3 of 4 games. They had won 3 of their last 4 games before resting their starters against the Lakers. They would have won that game against the Lakers. So they beat the Thunder, they beat the Spurs, they beat the Jazz going into the Clippers and Lakers game. They would be, they almost beat the Lakers with their second stringers. So
almost, but that's like the guy who gets a D on the test but then says, yeah, but in those middle 12 questions, I got 10 out of 12 of those, right?
But that's what
cares?
Hey, no, James, that's what you're doing with the Jazz game. You're saying that you keep on saying the Jazz were up 18, the Jazz were up 18.
They were.
Freaking lost. They lost to the Nuggets.
They did. You're right. They did, and the Jazz are 2-5 in the bubble. They're not playing particularly well either. But, man, Donovan Mitchell, people can be scared of Luka all they want. I saw Donovan Mitchell extend that game into double overtime all by himself. Like, that's a guy that is going to just be trouble in the playoffs. And then, you know, I know Gobert didn't play very well the other night, but okay, your best player is your big man, and now you're going to play against the best big man in terms of defensive ability in the league. That's the good matchup. You want to have the defensive player of the year on your best player. That's the matchup we all want. I just, there's parts of this thing that just doesn't add up to me. And
I think
it's messing with the basketball gods. Just go out and win. I'm the guy who, you know, I don't like to lose it at anything, so go out and win.
Well, look, you lost and you owed a steak. You lost and you owe beers. Now, what are you willing to lose again? Do you think the Nuggets are going to get bounced in the first round?
No, but it wouldn't shock me at all.
Okay. Well, you know what? I guess I shouldn't laugh at that because a lot of the factors that you're talking about are real, specifically with the defense and just how lackluster it's been. By the numbers, it's just as piss poor as you're going to get in the bubble, specifically with the Nuggets. So what is your forecast here for them? You sound like you're really down on the Nuggets. What is your forecast?
I think this game, this series goes 6 or 7 games, and I think it's a flip of a coin who wins it. I really do. You know, I guess if you made me pick a team,
there you go.
I'll take the Nuggets, but I think it's going to be extremely close.
So ultimately, you're picking the Nuggets.
Sure.
Okay. I just want to make sure that, like,
hey, don't forget that Noah Fant big play bet we got coming up this season.
What is that one again?
Remember, you said he'd be in the top 3 on the team in terms of big plays by the end of the year.
Yes, a top 3 on the Broncos in big plays. Yeah.
Yes. I'm ready to cash that check. That's a winner.
What's on the line again for that one?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
Well, we'll have to make new parameters because I forget as well. But I'll stick by that bet. Look, I am once again going back to what I said at the outset before I got all fiery and started losing my voice. What you are saying has legitimate factors to it. Reasonable minds can disagree on this one. Michael Malone is a smart man. He is the head coach of the Nuggets for a reason. He is smart. He thinks that he knows his team the best of anyone, right? The same reason why Bud Black would sit down Nolan Arenado. And the argument on the other side of it can make total sense. Darren McKee came in here and laid out an argument why sitting Nolan down in game 15 may have cost the Rockies a game. But Bud Black knows his guy. So when Nolan comes out and goes 4 for 4 the first game back, follows it up with a homer the next game, follows it up with 2 homers the next game, it's proof positive that he made the right move. Right now, we don't know about this. We don't know if it's the right move. The results will bear out in front of us. And hopefully, Mike Malone knows what he's doing to the nth degree enough that he's pushing the perfect buttons, and it pays off with a great matchup in the first round and a first round series, and then we reevaluate the field.
Well, I hope you're right. And look, if it was Greg Popovich doing this, or Steve Kerr doing this, or back in the day, Phil Jackson doing this, okay, I would say, hey, you know what? They've got the rings to back it up. Who am I to question their strategy? But people yesterday on Twitter acting like, oh, how can you possibly question Michael Malone? Michael Malone's never won squat. I'm sorry, but he hasn't. So he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt that you know, just not necessarily tanking, but not trying to go all out to win games leading into the playoffs is the right strategy. He has not earned that benefit of the doubt.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not. That's fair. Hopefully,
you're coming around.
Hopefully,
I can tell. Stoke and I wore you down.
James, hopefully, after what we see in the next 3 weeks, you have a renewed, or maybe a newfound, rather, appreciation for Mike Malone. I happen to think he's the perfect coach to this team. Does he have rings on his fingers yet? No. Will he have one after this year? No. I got people on the text line telling me that I think the Nuggets are going to win the title. No. I picked the Clippers before the season started, and I'll pick them again right now.
I don't know. They play Dallas. Heck, they may not get out of the first round.
Oh, my gosh. You are such a goof. Dude, you are such a goober. Look, how about this? How about we end like this? I'm glad that we can have a spirited discussion like this about a team that's relevant in this league. This is fun. If we take a step back and just look at it from 20,000 feet, the fact that we can have this conversation shows how far this organization and what they've built, this roster, has come in the last, say, three, four years.
100% correct, because we have high expectations, and, man, it's fun to have high expectations and not just be a pipe dream, right? They're, like, realistic high expectations, and that is a ton of fun. 100% with you on that.
You are so fun to debate against. You are.
I appreciate that.
You are. I always have a blast doing this. Thanks for stopping by, and I know we'll do it again very soon.
All right, sounds good. Fun as always.
Yep, no doubt. There he goes, James Merrillat of 1043thefan.com. Man, what a day. Steven, was this fun or not? I mean, dude, Keyshawn Johnson and George Karl and Stokely and I at each other's throats and Merrillat trying to jump me here too. And this was a blast. Thank you guys so much for participating with our show today and having us ride shotgun with you here on a Thursday. Have a great rest of your day. Shout out to Steven behind the glass. We got The Drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.